I want to talk to you for a little while. If I can get my clicker to work. Zane, go see if that is plugged in back there right quick. I want to talk to you about the altered mind. And really what we're going to talk about today is about drug use in America, drug use in our society, and what I believe is probably the coming, The coming, I guess we can call it a battle, of the use of drugs in our nation. And I'm going to look at this from a little different perspective maybe than we might normally do. A few weeks ago I was preaching, and before the services a gentleman came up and he got telling me all the wonderful benefits of marijuana. And that kind of struck me as odd. And I began to argue with him a little bit. He said, I'll tell you one thing. As soon as I can get the money together, I'm going to Colorado on vacation. And I'm going to smoke pot while I'm in Colorado. He said, if I could find somebody coming home from Colorado, I'd have him bring me home a care package. There's nothing wrong with smoking weed, he said. Well, this kind of got me. It got me to thinking about this. I've been asked by a lot of people about drug use and smoking marijuana specifically, and I've always been able to say it's against the law. Well, I can't say that. It's against the law in Texas. I can say that. It's not against the law in Colorado. It's not against the law in Alaska. It's not against the law in the state of Washington, and it's probably going to be a battle that comes here before long. A few weeks ago, a state representative put a bill before the House in Texas to legalize marijuana and to take any reference to marijuana being illegal out of all the laws in Texas. And so it's something that's going to come here. There will be a great discussion about it. There will be lawmakers who are tempted to legalize it because it will bring in funds and revenue and things of that nature. I have a couple of things I want to read to you first. These are things that I found on a couple of drug use sites on the web, and I'll give the addresses of those here as I go. All forms of marijuana are mind-altering. All forms of it. That is, they change how the brain works. Marijuana's effects on the user depends on the strength or potency, which is related to the amount of THC it contains. THC is the chemical in those drugs that cause you to get high. Marijuana affects the central nervous system as a hallucinogen and as a depressant. THC is rapidly absorbed by the fatty tissues and various organs. You then feel high, which can range from feelings of calm and happiness to feelings of being silly or giddy or paranoid or anxious. When taking high doses, it's possible to experience hallucinations. The high usually lasts for 2 to 4 hours, but your perceptions can be affected for many hours afterward, even when you no longer feel high. And here's this website, Drug Facts. And so let's face it, most people smoke marijuana to get high. There's a few people in our nation that smoke marijuana as a pain reliever. Most all of our drugs are derived from some plant or some form. The poppy plant is where we get most of the opium drugs that we have and we use today. And I'm not speaking against using a drug for a medical use. That's a whole different topic. I'm talking about using a drug to alter your mind, to alter the way you feel and the way you think. In interviews conducted between March and October of last year, when the legal marijuana markets in Colorado and Washington were ramping up, researchers asked 1,687 respondents the following question. Do you think the use of marijuana should be made legal or not? 52% said pot should be legalized, 42% opposed it, 7% were undecided, and so support for legalization of marijuana has gone up 9 points since 2012. That was the last time they conducted this survey. So it's coming. This argument, this discussion about marijuana being legal is coming. Now, this study's not just about marijuana. That's something that's on the news and in the forefront. Some medications have psychoactive, which is mind-altering properties, and because of that are sometimes abused. And really what I'm talking about now is prescription drugs. That is, they're taken for reasons or in ways or amounts not intended by a doctor or taken by someone other than the person for whom they are prescribed. In fact, prescription and over-the-counter drugs after marijuana and alcohol are the most commonly abused substances by Americans 14 years old and older. This is from drugabuse.gov. People are altering their minds with prescription drugs. People are altering their minds with alcohol. Americans alter their minds with marijuana and cocaine and heroin and a host of drugs that we hear about and we think of, or at least I've always thought of, as terrible drugs. There's some good things that come from these drugs, these plants. There's things that help us. There's many of us here who've taken morphine after surgery as a pain reliever. It's not taken to alter the mind. It's taken for a very different purpose. And so there's a difference between a drug that's used to alter the mind and a drug that is there to help our bodies heal and to be used in that way. So I don't want you to think I'm preaching against you taking medicine. I think it's okay to take a leave. But I'm going to tell you, it's not right to take that in order to alter your mind. In the Bible, we don't find the word marijuana. We don't really find the word drugs. But we do have a lot of teachings about drugs and drug use. And one place it's mentioned is Galatians 5 here in the works of the flesh, which he says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. He says now witchcraft. Now, what we probably think about witchcraft is an old ugly lady riding a broom and laughing a cruel laugh. Now, that's not witchcraft. That's kind of the modernized cartoony version of witchcraft. Now, he goes on and he goes through all these things and he says at the end, I have told you in times past, I'm going to back up a little, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These things are works of the flesh. They're sinful works. They're sinful works. Well, what is witchcraft? The Greek word is pharmakia. In fact, it's the word that we get pharmacy from. The Greek word for witchcraft means pharmacy. It means drugs. And so he says that is, by extension, magic, sorcery, witchcraft. It was the use of medication. And I believe witchcraft was when people used a drug or some other poison and they gave it to someone to trick them or deceive them. I really think that's probably what witchcraft was. We also read the word sorcery in Revelation 21 verse 8. He says, but the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, he goes on to say, and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Once again, included in a list of wicked, evil things. So the use of drugs or medicine through spells and enchantments, this was, I think, what probably happened. We read in the book of Acts chapter 8 of Simon the sorcerer. And the Bible says that the people all gave heed that he was a great power of God. I believe Simon used drugs. He had people drink something, or he lit a fire and he threw some kind of weed on there, and those people breathed that in and they had their minds altered. They believed he was a powerful witch doctor. I don't know what he was a sorcerer. These drugs were used to bring a feeling of ease or health or to bring pain. Spells were used to restore health, to help destroy an enemy. Sometimes they were used to attract love. At other times, to produce hate. There have been con artists forever, and they have tried to deceive people to get wealth and riches. There's a con artist out there in Washington State where I go. She claims to be a spiritual channeler, and she channels the spirit. An ancient Roman warrior named Ramtha, she channels this spirit. She can help you and tell you fortunes and all those kinds of things. Very wealthy. She's got millions and millions of dollars through deceiving people. The word sorcery is a very similar word, pharmakias. That is a drug, a spell-giving potion, or a druggist, a magician, a sorcerer. So what we read about here is not really someone who voluntarily takes a drug to alter their mind. It's someone who was tricked into taking a drug. It's someone who went about tricking people and using those things. But what I'm trying to get into your mind is the idea of having your mind altered in some way. In the Bible, witchcraft and sorcery was used to alter someone's perception of reality and used to trick them into believing a supernatural event took place when in fact it didn't. They had an hallucination or high. Now, drunkenness. Alcohol is a drug. It's very similar in some ways to other drugs. This gentleman I was having this discussion with about marijuana, I said to him that marijuana is a gateway drug. It leads to other drugs. He said, I don't believe that. He said, alcohol is the gateway drug. Well, that may be right. But we find a lot of teachings in the Bible about drunkenness. And I want to read to you a couple of things that I hope will illustrate the point. Genesis chapter 9, beginning of verse 20. Noah began to be an husbandman. This was after the flood. They began to rebuild their lives on the earth. Noah evidently planted a vineyard. And this is what he began to do. He began to be a husband. He planted a vineyard. Verse 21. As soon as he had a vineyard, next thing he had was wine, evidently. He drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. Noah became drunk and it altered his mind. And he did something he would not have normally done. He lay naked in his tent. He wouldn't have normally done that. This was the situation, you see. His mind was altered. The word drunk, in this Hebrew word, is interesting because it means to become tipsy. What does it mean to be tipsy? Well, I think, and we'll look at this later on, I think it means to stagger. To satiate with a stimulating drink. So I think we probably understand what it means to be drunk. In Genesis 19, and this account is Lot. Lot has gone to Sodom and he's lived there. And this is after Lot has fled from Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is him and his daughters. 19:31, and the firstborn, this is his daughter, said to the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father, something Lot would have never done. His mind was altered. He perceived not what had happened. Now, this is odd because this was there was a strong sense to preserve the seed of the family. Why that was, I don't know. It was a custom of the time. And that really doesn't make sense to me. The fact I'd like for us to really think about is Lot did something he would never do. These daughters understood he would never do this. That's why they made the plan. Let's get him drunk. And he never knew when they came in. He never knew when they got up. This deed was done. Incest. His mind was altered. 1 Samuel 25, verse 36. Abigail came to Nabal. And behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. He had a feast. He got drunk. His mind was altered. He did not perceive the things that were going. In fact, it says, wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning light. She knew there's no sense talking to this man. he would not remember. He would not know. His perception of reality was changed that much. This word means to be intoxicated as a state or habit. This must have been his habit. He was very drunk. The word intoxicate means of alcoholic drink or drug to cause someone to lose control of their faculties or behavior. So once again, it comes back to this idea of the mind being altered, to lose control, to lose the faculty, to the ability to make decisions, the ability to make a rational choice. First Kings 20, verse 16, they went out at noon, but Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions. Why was he drinking? To get drunk. You know, I would say the majority of people who drink alcohol in the United States today do it to get drunk. I'm sure some don't do it to get drunk. Some people use alcohol medicinally, but this king drank himself drunk. This is why he did this. Isaiah 28, verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. This wine has called them to err. And that was an interesting word right there. Err means to stray, usually to mistake, especially to transgression, by extension through the idea of intoxication. These people erred, specifically a sin, through intoxication. Their minds were altered. And I want you to notice that it affected their vision. It affected their judgment. They made choices they would never make. And I think this is the problem. This is the problem. I can tell you it's a sin to be drunk. I can tell you it's a sin to get high. But I'm going to tell you something that you cannot quantify in your life. The decisions you will make when your judgment is compromised. Those choices that you will make will be wrong. When your mind is altered and you make decisions, they're never good decisions. Never. And that's what happens when a person is intoxicated or is high. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." God says that's not going to work. You can't live your life with an altered mind and serve God and go to heaven. You can't do it. Now there's another problem. These substances are addictive. They're addictive. I watched a show the other night about a man who was a very talented basketball player. In fact, he was drafted in the first round, 33rd. Within 9 years, he was completely and totally broke. He was out of the league. Within 4 years, he was out of the league. He was addicted to OxyContin, prescription drugs. He went to the Boston Celtics. He was traded, and he said, "I almost missed my introduction because I was waiting for my drug dealer to bring me my bottle of drugs." See, his perceptions of reality is all goofed up. Because he began to be addicted to those things. I talked earlier about tipsy. This word means tipsy. That is a sot, a drunkard. And the word tipsy from Webster's means unsteady, staggering, or foolish from the effects of liquor. It all goes back to this alteration of the mind. To become foolish. What kind of choices does a fool make? Well, he makes foolish choices. Makes bad choices in their life. Ephesians 5 verse 18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Once again, to be intoxicated, to be drunk. In Proverbs 23 and verse 29, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babblings, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth on the top of a mast. It causes you to do things that do not make any sense. Who would lie down in the midst of the sea? It's a good way to drown. It's a good way to get eaten by a shark. Who would crawl up on a mast and lie on the top of a ship's mast? Who babbles? Who has wounds without cause? You know, I know a guy who got drunk. Him and his buddies began to party, and they all woke up after a while, and they couldn't find their friend. So they got in the pickup and began to drive. They said, we drove from a liquor store to another in a place we'd party. 3 hours, they drove all around town looking for their friend. They couldn't find him. They were worried. He crawled out the back of the pickup. He had got in the back of the pickup to go to sleep. He vomited all over himself, and he was beaten and bruised from rolling around the back of that pickup. That's a good time, isn't it? That's a real good time. Nobody would do that if their mind was right, if their mind was unaltered. He goes on to say, they have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. It's addictive. It's a very dangerous thing. It's addictive. Now the word gall, in Matthew 27, when Jesus was on the cross, the Roman soldiers gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. When he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Evidently, gall, it comes from the word bile, and it means anything bitter. But evidently the practice was to put a poison or an anodyne, which was a pain-killing drug or medicine that was derived from poppy. They tried to give Jesus a opium-based mixture in a mild alcohol. And when he tasted it, he would not drink it. He was not going to have his mind altered when he was on the cross. The Bible teaches us to be sober. In Titus chapter 2 verse 6, the Bible says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. What does that mean? You know, I've taught for years it means to be serious-minded. I think that's true. The word in the Greek means to be of a sound mind, that is, sane. Well, sane's a little bit different than sober-minded. You know, people that are in their wrong mind, if their mind is altered through drugs, they do crazy things. They do things that don't have any reason. They don't make any sense at all. Well, that's insanity. To be sober is to be in the right mind. Young men, be sober-minded. Don't be high. Don't be drunk. Thayer defines it to be of a sound mind, to be in one's right mind, to exercise self-control, to curb one's passions. So, it's a very similar idea. To be seriously minded, to be sober and sane. That's what the word means. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 13, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. There's two things he illustrates here. One, state of mind of being beside yourself. You know, I've seen people who were beside themselves from grief, from loss, totally out of their mind, just so covered up with grief, they didn't think about anything else. Well, that's a natural thing. That's a natural thing. But to be beside yourself or out of your mind, that's a very different thing than to be sober. To be in the right mind, to make rational and godly decisions. He says in 1 Timothy 3 verse 2, a bishop or elder then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, diligent, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. An elder, a leader in the church cannot be a person who has a problem with wine, a problem with drugs, a person who's out of their mind.
He goes on to say in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We need to be seriously minded, and we need to be in our right mind at all times. The immediate effect of taking marijuana include rapid heartbeat, disorientation, lack of physical coordination, often followed by depression or sleeplessness. Some users suffer panic attacks or anxiety. I want to tell you something. I want you to listen to me real well. If they legalize marijuana in Texas, it is still a sin to smoke marijuana. It's a sin to smoke it in Colorado or Washington. It is a sin to take a substance to alter your mind. And it ain't going to change. We can vote laws after laws. We can promote it and say it's good. Doesn't matter what man does, it's not going to change
what God says about it.
Marijuana also affects brain development. And when it is used heavily by young people, it affects on thinking and memory, may last a long time or even be permanent. People make fun of pot smokers because they seem slow and they seem unintelligent. There's a reason for that. It's because that's what it does to you. That's how it affects you. And it destroys your brain's functional abilities when it's used heavily to a point that it affects your memory and your mind. A recent study of marijuana users who began using in adolescence revealed substantially reduced connectivity among brain areas responsible for learning and memory. I'm going to tell you, I have enough problems with my memory and learning, and I can't afford to lose any more of what I got. And I want to tell you, if you smoke dope, it will affect you. It will affect you, your brain, your mind. It will affect your ability to make decisions. It will cause you to make terrible decisions. It may cause you to become addicted, where you do drugs over and over and over. I know a young man who sleeps behind a Walmart. He sleeps on a pile of cardboard boxes, raised in the church. He thinks it's fine. He don't understand why everybody's upset about him doing that. You know why? Because his perception of reality has been altered. Because nobody thinks that's all right, that's in the right mind. A large long-term study in New Zealand showed that people who began smoking marijuana heavily in their teens lost an average of 8 points in IQ between ages 13 and age 38. It makes you stupid. And we can call it anything you want to call it. It makes you stupid. It takes away your brain function. Importantly, the lost cognitive abilities were not fully restored in those who quit smoking marijuana as adults. It makes you dumb and you don't get it back when you quit. That's scary. That's a scary thing. This, once again, is from drugabuse.gov. It's a sin to take drugs to alter your mind. That's the bottom line. It's a sin to do that. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's the catch-all. You can make some argument. Well, what if we should abstain from all appearance of evil? How is these things not evil? Well, I'll tell you, you need to be very careful because I don't believe prescription drugs are evil. But I'll tell you, when you take one just because you want to feel good, that's evil. That's sin. When you take two or three because it makes you not feel, that's evil. And I believe that's one reason a lot of folks take drugs today is so they don't feel anything. They don't feel guilt. They don't feel sadness. They don't feel a sense to change their life and improve their life. They take those medications so they don't feel. I'm going to tell you, that's a scary thing. To not feel.
Because we need to feel a sense of wrong when we do wrong. We need that. We need to feel a sense of we need to improve our lives. We all need that. We need to feel a sense of I can do better. And I can grow and I can be a better person. We need to feel that within us and so that we'll do that. And when we feel nothing, then we do nothing. When you feel nothing in your heart, you don't feel compelled to change or improve or do anything. This young man that I told you about that was an NBA ball player, he left jail one day. He walked 3 blocks to a liquor store. He bought a bottle of vodka. He drank it and he went around behind the store and he went to sleep. Oh, how long he slept. He said he'd been awake 5 days before that because he is on meth. He woke up with 2 homeless people kicking him, saying, "You all right?" He said, "Yeah, I'm okay." And he said, "I sat there and I thought, maybe I should just go homeless. I'll just live homeless. I won't go back to my wife because I'll just disappoint her. I won't go back to my kids because I'll just mess them up. I'll just go homeless." He said, "It took me about 30 minutes to decide." Well, I'll tell you, that's when you don't feel. And when you're there, you're in a bad way. And that's where this dope will take you. That's where it will take you. Now, you might get your songbooks out. You might get your book out. If you've been involved in taking drugs, you can change that. Jesus will help you to change that. But you've got to come to Him for help. If you have a problem with alcohol, Jesus will help you with that. Will it be easy? I doubt it. But our Lord will help you. And if you have a problem in your life for these things, you better start to fight it. And you can do that today.